your Bibles tonight and turn to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 4. Tonight will be lesson number 39. Matthew chapter number 4. Once you arrive at Matthew chapter 4, I want you to find verse number 1. Matthew chapter 4. We're going to go to verse number 1. And then I want you to stand with me once you've done that. Matthew chapter 4. We're going to read verse number 1. We're going to read all the way through verse 11. Matthew chapter 4, starting with verse 1. We're going to go all the way through verse 11. It says, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. When he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterwards and hungered. When the tempter came to him, he said, 'If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread.' But he answered and said, 'It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.' Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, saith unto him, 'If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone.' Jesus said unto him, 'It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God.' Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, 'All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me.' Then saith Jesus unto him, 'Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve.' Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him." We're going to use this passage to get us started tonight on the lesson. We've been talking about growth and growth in the Christian life. The lesson tonight is growing in your ability to handle temptation. Growing in regard to this thing called temptation. And let's pray. Father, bless us with thy presence. Thank you for what we've heard tonight, the information that we've gathered. But God, none of that is as important as a lesson from thy eternal word. So might we be as excited to hear from heaven. Might we be as excited to hear your word taught and preached tonight as what we were about the other monetary issues, the other earthly issues. Now bless us tonight with thy Spirit's presence. Help us to leave here a little more capable in saying no to wrong, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, the sermon is growing in your ability to handle temptation. I'm going to move right along. I've got a lot of information. I want to cover it quickly, but please listen on purpose. In the passage of Scripture that we just read, Jesus goes into the wilderness where he will face temptation. He's fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was hungry. The tempter, Satan, comes to him and says this to him. He says, "If you're God's son, show off your power. Turn these stones into bread." And Jesus did not give in to this temptation. Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." See, Satan came to test or to tempt him, but Jesus makes it through it. Then Satan comes a second time and takes Jesus to the highest part of the temple. He said, Satan said to him, if you're God's son, throw yourself off this temple or off this pinnacle and let God's angels save you. In other words, he said, you could try to commit suicide. Now, I'll tell you, Satan would have loved for Jesus to die before Calvary. But Jesus said, don't tempt God. Then Satan comes to Jesus a third time. Now, remember, Jesus has been fasting and praying for 40 days and 40 nights. He's weary, he's tired, he's hungry. The devil's right on him, testing him, tempting him. Satan comes a third time, takes Jesus into a mountain, says, "Look down at all the world." Satan said, "If you will worship me, all of this can be yours." And Jesus said to him, "No, we're to worship God and God only." Three times in this setting, Satan tempted Jesus. Three times Jesus wins and the devil loses. But he was tempted. Temptation is a tool of the devil. We go all the way back into the Garden of Eden where Eve was tempted of the devil. We see that Jesus here in this passage and throughout the Bible was tempted. The devil tempts you and I to this very day. The very same old devil, up to the very same old tricks. I want to talk to you about this thing of temptation. Stay with me. I've got a handful of points, but they're simple, but listen to them. Number one, Jesus was tempted. Jesus was tempted. So that means this, he understands what we go through. Listen to Hebrews 4:15. It says, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." He was the God-man, but he was tempted as a man, and he had victory over that temptation as a man. Here it said that he was tempted in all points. So Jesus Christ, as a man, was tempted just like you and just like me. Now, why? Well, I think he wanted to understand human temptation. I think it sure is good having a dad that understands. And he wanted to understand temptation. Now I'm going to read to you from Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17 and 18, where it says, "Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted." The Bible says here, it behooved him. You know, Jesus said, this is what I want to do. I am going to go through the temptations that are down on earth. I love the people that I will call mine, and this is important. I'm going to be tempted. It said that he might be merciful. Boy, that's good news for you and me. Jesus was tempted, and he understands how sly, how slick, how capable, how strong the devil is. Now, he did not give in to the temptation, but he definitely knows what you're up against. He understands it. He said that he might be merciful. What's that mean? When you have a struggle with temptation, if you slip, or even if temptation gets the best of you, even mentally, let me tell you something. Jesus said, "I understand. I understand." That doesn't mean he approves, but he said, "I understand." And he said he wants to succor those that are tempted. He wants to be a good dad to us. He wants to be there for us. But remember, Jesus was tempted. Number two. The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. He knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. Listen to 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. It says, "The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished." Now notice, the godly will have temptation. Folks, just so you know, you never become too spiritual for temptation. If Jesus had temptation, then you and I are going to have temptation. Look, Jesus knows how to deliver us because he experienced it and he won the battle with temptation. Hebrews 4:15 says, "But was in all points tempted like as we are, without sin." Now, he did not give in to temptation. So, you know, you understand, he knows how to deliver us. But he knows how to deliver us because he's God, but he also knows how to deliver us out of experience. He experienced temptation, and he experienced it without failure, without sin. Now, we need to follow God's instructions about this thing called temptation if we're going to be successful. Now, and everyone, you need to know, the lost or the unsaved, they'll be controlled by most temptation. Temptation is too much for them. You and I, we're a child of the King. He succored us. He's training us. He's there for us. He makes it so that temptation does not have to overtake us. But the lost, they give in to temptation. Not only do they give in to temptation, but eventually they're controlled by temptation and then controlled by the sin that comes as a result of temptation. Okay, so number one, Jesus was definitely tempted. Number two, he knows how to deliver you and I from temptation because he experienced it and won the victory. Number three, I hope you'll understand this. All people face most of the same common temptations. All people face the same common temptations. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it." Notice it said there, such as is common to man. The temptations that you and I face are common. Temptation is a common thing. Your temptation, in most cases, your temptation is no stronger than my temptation, and my temptation is no stronger than your temptation. You're not the only one who faces the temptation in regard to lust, or the temptation to lie, or the temptation to steal, or the temptation of pride, or the temptation of quitting. Stop feeling like the Lone Ranger. You say, Ed, I have to face more temptation than everybody else. Let me tell you something. The only way you're facing more temptation than everybody else is putting yourself in a position where you have to face more temptation. Look, you say, I just constantly have to say no to a beer. What are you doing at Joe's Bar and Grill? Now, I don't have to face the temptation of having some guy on a bar stool asking me if I want to drink a Budweiser because I'm never sitting on a bar stool. But the common everyday temptations of life, folks, we're going to face the same ones. And we're going to face them. These are common temptations. Look, if you yield to temptation, somebody else, just like you, the same day, rejected the same temptation. If you yield to temptation, you need to know that somebody else with your identical strength in the Christian life, you said yes to wrong, they said no to wrong, because it was a common temptation. You say, why is that? Because God's just. God's just and God's fair. God didn't want to put more on you than what He would put on somebody else. Now, where you make a mistake is you put more on you than what you should, but God won't. So this is what I've said thus far. I said Jesus was tempted. I said number two, He can help us have victory in regard to temptation. Number one, because He's God, but secondly, because He knows by experience how to overcome it. I said number three, people face common temptations. Number four, God will not allow you to be tempted above your ability to overcome the temptation. God will not allow you to be tempted above your ability to overcome or have victory over that temptation. We go back to the same verse that I read to you a moment ago, 1 Corinthians 10:13, where it said, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. It goes on and says, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Notice, but God is faithful, who will not suffer or allow you to be tempted above that you're able. God is fair and God is just. And so you know, God is good all the time. All the time. So God is not going to allow a temptation in your life without providing the strength to overcome that temptation. You say, but I gave in. Yes, and you didn't use the strength He gave you, and that's why you gave in. Whatever your temptation, there's an equal strength to where you could say no. You could have overcome. And so you know, if you didn't, it's not God's fault. If you didn't, it's your fault. It's not a weakness in the Word of God. It's a weakness in the child of God. It's not a weakness in the Spirit of God. It's a weakness in the Spirit of the child of God. It's not God's fault. You gave in, not because of me, but because of you. You gave in, not because of God, but because of you. And you gave in, not because of the devil. He can't make you do anything. He sets you up. You got to jump through the hoop yourself. If God allowed a temptation to come to you that was greater than you, He would be a liar. Because He promises He would not bring a temptation to us that we could not bear. All right? That means this. David could have said no to Bathsheba. That means that Ananias and Sapphira could have said no to stealing God's money. Korah could have said no to his disloyal criticism of Moses, where almost 14,000 people end up dead because of the chaos that Korah created in their congregation or their the group of God's people. So, look, folks, both you and I need to face something. If we gave in, it's not because the temptation was too big, it's that we were too little. That's our fault. That's not God's fault. Let me go on. Number five, God makes a way for you to escape any temptation that comes your way. You can escape any temptation that comes your way. But here's the thing. You got to want to escape it. I said something about Joe's Bar and Grill. You say, I was sitting there, Brother Owens, I used to be an alcoholic or addicted, if you don't mind, a drunk. That's what the Bible calls it, drunkenness. You say, I used to be a drunk. I sit there and drink. But I got saved and I gave it up. Now, right now, I've been going down to Joe's Bar and Grill, and these guys just keep on asking me to have a beer and asking me to have a beer and asking me to have a beer. Now, let me tell you something. If you wanted to escape that, you'd stay away from the place where they were offering you a beer. Again, 1 Corinthians 10:13, it says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. So, God's not going to put more on you than you can handle, but if something comes to you that's heavy, He has a way for you to escape. So, for every temptation, there's an escape plan. There's an escape plan. You say, boy and girl, they're out. And here's what I recommend. I don't recommend boys and girls are alone together. I think they need chaperones. I don't think it's smart for them, a boy and a girl that's unmarried, to be out in a car alone together. I think they ought to be chaperoned. But let's say that two young people are not administrated well enough or watched close enough, and somehow they find themselves out alone in a car together. They're unmarried. And the boy makes a pass at the girl. And the girl says, oh no, the temptation is heavy. What am I going to do? I'll tell you what you do. You take your shoe off and you whack him in the head. Say, but wonder if the shoe doesn't stop him. Get out of the car and walk home. Escape! Escape! But you're not going to stay there and keep the pressure on and succeed at saying no. You have to escape. It said, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. You can get out of the way of the temptation. Mrs. Owens does something. I get so tickled. We'll go somewhere and we'll order a meal. And we'll come to dessert. And sometimes she'll order a piece of pie or a piece of a cake. And she'll start eating on that pie. And when she wants to stop herself, she'll stop herself from eating right there. I look up and she's got the ketchup, squirting ketchup on her pie. You say, why? Because she knows once she puts the ketchup on her pie, she's not going to take another bite of it. That's her escape from the temptation of that pecan pie. Now me, if I'm eating that pie and I think I ought to stop, I immediately get chocolate chips and put it all over the top of that pie. There's a difference between her and I. And if I eat on, I didn't use the escape route. She used the escape route. If you remember the story of Potiphar with Potiphar's wife and Joseph. Joseph had been captive and Potiphar's wife had been seeking out Joseph to be immoral with him. You know what? Joseph finally said, I'm running. And he got out of Dodge. He even left his expensive sports jacket behind. And it cost him a little something. You say, but couldn't he just stood there and took it? Look, I'm going to tell you something. I don't want to go toe-to-toe with the devil if I don't have to. I want to get out of his range. I don't know how long his range is. If you've ever boxed, you want to know how long your opponent's arms are. You say, where do you want to stand? Just within his reach. And what we need to do with temptation is you need to escape it. In other words, I'm saying to everybody in here, nothing wrong with running from wrong. Get away from it. You're better off. You'll last longer that way. You say, well, I don't want to be a coward. You want to be a casualty is what you want to be if you're not careful. It's not being a coward. It's being wise. Get away from it. Let me go on. We are told and we are able to endure temptation. Let me read to you. James chapter 1, verse number 12, it says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Here the Bible says we can endure it. Notice it says at the beginning of the verse, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. The word blessed is much like Psalm chapter 1. Psalm 1:1, it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. The word blessed there would be akin to our word happy. Happy is the man, or joyful is the man. And if I use that word joy there, joyful is the man that endureth temptation. Now, why would that be so? If you and I will endure temptation, we'll be happy that we didn't get ourselves in a mess. We'll be happy that God helped us to overcome. And I'll tell you this, you won't be happy if you don't endure. You won't be happy if you give in. Hey, let me say, for the moment, you say, boy, the devil came at me with everything and the flesh and my carnal nature took over. Oh, you might enjoy it for a moment. But as a Christian, you'll wake up and say, oh my goodness, what did I do? Why did I let that happen? You can paint the town red on Saturday night, but wake up Sunday morning and hate the color red. You can roll the dice, and you might enjoy the roll of the dice, but you'll pay the price. And so there is a moment of fleshly, electrifying pleasure, but it'll hit you, and real joy will escape you if you don't endure. When the Bible talks about enduring temptation, you say endure, that sounds like there's little work to it. I think sometimes there is. I think there are times when something tries to wear on you. The story of Joseph in Potiphar's house with Potiphar's wife, she wore on him. He worked there, and every day she came after him. And I'll tell you something, if I was afraid that I was going to give in to sin at work, okay, if I worked out there secularly and some woman kept on coming after me, if I felt myself weakening, I'd get another job. I would not risk my relationship with my wife and my morality to keep a job. My relationship with my wife is more important to me than money. I'm not telling anybody to change jobs. I'm just saying, look, I want to endure when temptation comes. And sometimes temptation comes at you. It just keeps coming at you and coming at you. You can endure it. But if the same temptation comes your way repeatedly, and you do all you can to escape, God will give you the power to endure. By the way, the word endure is actually the word fortify. That's what it means. It means fortify yourself. That means you're stocking up. I really don't think that you get up spiritually for temptation. I think you're supposed to stay up. You say, well, tomorrow I might be tempted. I hope I make it through it. If I were you, I would live every day as if any temptation could come upon you at any time. So when it surprises you, you were already fortified for that temptation. Thank God if you think a temptation's coming your way tomorrow. Well, I hope you have time between now and then to get ready for it. You might just want to be ready for it anyway. America says, well, we'll fortify and build up our arms if we ever think somebody's going to threaten us. America better be ready for the threat 24/7, 365 days a year, because the devil's not taking any breaks. It's not if we'll be attacked, it's when we'll be attacked. And so in the Christian life, it's even worse than that, because the devil's out to get us. Fortify. You can endure. Don't put yourself in a position where you're just constantly enduring the same temptation. But if you have to, you can. Still, the temptation is not greater than what the power that God will get you to overcome it. Let me go on. You know that God wants you to have peace in life, so He tells you that you can overcome temptation. God wants you to have a certain amount of peace. I'm going to read to you from John 16:33. It says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Jesus said, I overcame temptation, and I can show you how to overcome temptation. You know, that there is a peace that a Christian can have knowing that we have one that can lead us through temptation. I'm glad that the Bible says I can overcome temptation. You see, I would be a mess if I knew the Bible where the devil's trying to destroy me. I would be a mess if I had to think that, and there's not a thing I can do about it. How hopeless. But you know something? There is something I can do about it. I have an enemy. God's not leaving me. He's not forsaking me. He said, I want you to have peace. He said, if I can overcome, you can overcome, and I can help you to overcome. That helps me to be able to relax a little bit in my Christianity. And I don't mean let my guard down, but what I mean is I thank God I've got a God that comes to me and says, you've got an enemy, and that enemy wants to destroy you, but hang in there, I can help you. He doesn't have to destroy you. You can have a peaceful, decent life in spite of your enemy and in spite of the temptation that's going to come your way. In other words, you don't have to give in. You don't have to give in. And let me tell you all something. If you gave in to temptation today, tomorrow you don't have to. And everybody here has given in to some temptation in the last 24 hours. I don't know what it is. And nobody here is perfect. I think when we all get to heaven and we figure out the real big picture spiritually, we're all going to say, oh, I sure should have done a lot better. I wasn't doing real good down there. But listen, if you say last week was a terrible week, I gave in to temptation. Make this week a better one. Grow in this area. Now, let me give you something that I'm going to show you temptation's process, if you will. The directions, if you will. In James chapter 1, verse 14 and 15, it says this. But every man is tempted, there's the word we're looking for, when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And when sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Now, there's a process in that one verse taking place. It said, but every man, that's all of us, everybody here, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of, drawn away of his own lust. Let me explain that. And everybody listen real carefully. Get this. The devil notices your lust. He's watching for you to show him your weaknesses. The devil's watching for you to let it be known that you've got a lust issue. And it's not just, we're not just talking about a morality thing. He's watching for your weaknesses. Devil's watching your eyes. He knows what you're attracted to. Okay? So drawn away of your own lust. Then it says, but every man that is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust, then he's enticed. See, the devil's wanting you to tell him what your weakness is. Once you give the devil the hint about what you're lusting after, he then is going to entice you in the area of your weakness. The devil then comes after you. He then tempts you. You say, well, how did he know how to tempt me? He watched you long enough to figure out what tempts you. Now, that makes sense. Brother Robert is a fisherman. I'll guarantee you, when he goes fishing, he's been doing it long enough, he can figure out what the fish are biting on. Is it a red worm? Is it a night crawler? Is it a cricket? Is it a minnow? Or a minnow? He knows. Now, certainly, he's going to fish with what they're biting on. And sometimes you experiment a little. You try some bait. See what they're biting on. You know what? You're a fish. And the devil is watching for you to tell him by your actions what you'll bite on. And once he figures out it's a night crawler, he's going to bait his hook with what? A night crawler. So it says, drawn away of your own lust. You're the one that gives the devil the signal of what it'll take for him to get you. Then he baits up the hook with the bait you gave him, and it says, then you will be enticed with that bait. Then it says, listen, but every man that is tempted, when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed, then when lust hath conceived. When lust hath conceived. Your lust and his temptation come together, and they give birth to a thing called sin. He said, you told me what you're looking for. I provided it. I tempt you. You take advantage of the temptation. Now we've got sin. It bringeth forth sin. It's a relationship between your desire and him providing it. You say, no, that's not how it works. The devil, he comes after me without any help. No, he watches your weakness. He feeds you in the area of your weakness. The two come together and it brings forth sin. Then what happens? Well, when it is finished, that sin brings death. That's what James chapter 1, verse 14 and 15 just taught. He's watching. You tell him how to bait the hook. He baits the hook. You bite the hook. That's sin. Sin brings death. Now, that's what temptation will get you into. Now, you say, what are we going to do? Let me read a verse to you. In James 4, 7, it says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Now, you say, what do? Well, that's the process. That's how you've seen the process of temptation. Now, the process of getting through this is you submit yourself to God. Submit your mind, submit your body, submit your heart. Folks, you don't need to fight God. You need to team up with God. The only way you're going to fight off temptation and eventual sin is you got to form a team with God. Listen, I am to submit myself to God, then I resist the devil. The devil, what's that? Fight. Fight him. Stay away from him. You say, how do you fight the devil? You overcome him with biblical obedience. Look, don't do what your flesh says. Do what the Bible says. Your flesh is enticed. Your flesh is passionate. There's sometimes, folks, when you have to say, my body, my mind, my heart wants to do this, but the Bible says I can't, therefore I can't. I'm going to submit to God. I'm going to resist the devil by fighting him. And then it says, he will flee from you. Some of you just don't fight hard enough. Why don't you decide you're going to give yourself to God, that's submit, do what the Bible says, and then he'll flee. All we need is you to decide you belong to God, decide to obey the Bible. You know what the next step is? He said, look, they're not going to do what their flesh wants. They're going to do what the Bible says. Their flesh is going to change, but the Bible's not going to change. So if they're going to stick with the Bible and do what the Bible says, I don't have a chance against them. You need to submit, you need to resist, and he will flee. Now, what's the result? And I'm finished. Romans 8:37 says, nay, or in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us so. Hey, more than conquerors. Did you know something spiritually? You can be a winner. Did you know you can be a champion? You can have the victory. This says more than conquerors. You know what that means? We can be the winner of the winners. We can be the conqueror of the conquerors. We can be the victor of the victors. Because this is not just winning. This is being one of the winners of all the winners. In all these things, we are more than conquerors. Now, did we do that on our own? No, it said through him that loved us. Remember, we started this whole story with Jesus being tempted. Why? That's the key to you and I. You say, how so? He was tempted. He figured out how to make it through it. He said, now you're my child. Just do what I say. I'm not telling you just because I know. I'm telling you from experience. And I'll show you how to endure. I'll show you how to overcome. I'll show, hey, and he said, I'll make you a deal. I'll make sure you never get tempted above your ability. So you can always know victory's available. Have some peace in that. Temptation. Let's grow in our ability to handle the temptations of the devil. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, every head bowed, every eye closed. I hope someone learned something tonight enough to help you through the temptations of life. I gave a lot of scripture tonight. I tried to do it in such a practical way that you could grow from it. Hey, listen, I really believe there are people in this room that say, my temptation's bigger than me. No, I'm sorry, it's not. It's not. You and God make a majority. With God's help, you're bigger than it. Who here tonight with uplifted hand would say, preacher, I've grown. I've grown as a result of this lesson tonight. I believe that God's given me a little nugget somewhere in the preaching tonight that's going to help me. Would you raise your hand and let God see it? God bless you. You may put your hand down. Let me ask this, and this does not mean that you have some big moral temptation, but who here tonight would say, Brother Owens, would you say a prayer for me? There's a temptation that, see, I want to endure it. It seems to just badger me. Maybe it's your besetting sin. I don't even want to know what it is. But you would say, preacher, would you pray for me? There's this temptation that just works on me and works on me. Would you pray that I use the strength that I need to overcome it? Would you raise your hand? And there are a lot of hands. God bless you. You can put your hand down. Father, you've seen those hands. All of us have those little gnawing, sins, those temptations that come after us. Give everybody here extra strength. Help us, Lord, to learn the Scripture and to be obedient to it. But might we leave this place tonight more victorious than when we came in. Somehow, God, tonight you might have flipped a light switch on in somebody's brain. It might be that someone finally, after all these years, will find victory over that temptation that seems to wear them down. Now, God, bless the invitation that's to come, please. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, in a moment, the pianist is going to begin to play. If you need a moment, you come to the altar. If you need to come, you want to come pray about the building program, you come. If there's a temptation that seems to wear on you, you come. If you have a burden, if you have a heartache, a need, you come. The altar's here for you. You can come meet with God for any reason at altar call time. The pianist is going to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and eyes closed. Do you need the altar? You come if you do. Always come and make yourself at home. What temptation is heavy upon you? Or what heartache is heavy upon your heart? What need do you have? Ushers, if you'll prepare prayer sheets. Growing in our ability to handle temptation. This is the last time through the song. So often you teach a lesson like this and there's somebody that's saying, you know what, that's good for my son. That's good for my daughter. That's good for my husband. That's good for my wife. It's good for you. You said, worried about everybody else's temptation. You better take care of your own. God bless you. Have a seat.